Welcome to Find Your Lady Tribe. My name is Brenda.
And I am Michelle.
And it's our mission to build a community of lady tribes, a place to connect and grow your tribe with resources, ideas, workshops, retreats, and events. We invite you to join our inner circle and become a tribe leader.
It's free! Each week, we will start a conversation about connecting within your tribe and across all of our tribes. Our goal is to create 1,000 new lady tribes in 2022. And each episode will challenge you with a call to action. The first one is to join our inner circle. Go to tinyurl.com/mylady tribe. And as a gratitude gift, we will send you a downloadable copy of Chapter 1 of Lady and the Tribe, The Awakening.
Yay! So please subscribe to be notified of a new episode each week.
Hi, and welcome everyone to Find Your Lady Tribe. Today, Brenda and I will be interviewing with Anne Shoshana Dechter.
Yeah, so she's a speaker, author, and coach, education guru of all sorts. A little bit about Anne. After a series of traumatic, life-altering wake-up calls where Anne lost her father, her marriage, and her career, in one fell swoop, she had to quickly reevaluate her life and come up with the solutions. She had done the wife thing, the career thing, and the mom thing, and still felt empty inside. Living with that bleak, hollow space inside was no longer sustainable. Always a seeker, she went back to school and studied educational leadership and multiple spiritual disciplines, of which Kabbalah became the nearest and dearest as it answers her life's deepest questions. For the past 27 years, she has been speaking and sharing on her signature program, the Greater Than Purpose Project, to empower visionary, spirit-led, heart-centered, and norm-busting leaders to grow from good to better, making impact and income, leaving a legacy, doing what they love in a world gone crazy so they can lead a no-regrets life, which is, by the way, our destiny, right?
Exactly.
So thank you so much, Anne, for being with us today.
I'm very, very happy to be here. That was a mouthful.
Yeah, well, it's lovely, lovely. It's an honor to introduce you. Can you kind of just give us a little bit more of your background and you know, in relation to relationships, that's kind of your business.
Tell us your story.
Oh, the story is pretty, wild. Looking back, I mean, when it happened, everything in life, the major impetus in life for us to stand up and take action is when we usually have a very traumatic wake-up call. No pain, no gain, as they say. And for me, that was when my dad had come to visit me. I think I was about 26 years old, and he dropped dead in my house 2 weeks later. And we had to ship the body back to my mom, and that started a life path, a journey that's led me to where I am today. And the biggest lesson my dad ever shared, I mean, now only looking back can I realize what it is, and it's a great lesson to share with all of the viewers and your tribe, is that you can't run away from your calling. Does that make sense?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
So when people say, well, what do you mean you can't run away from your calling? It's because each one of us is born with a greater than purpose, something that is really of a divine source, something that only we can do and no one else can do it. And so my dad, it was pretty crazy. When I was 2 years old, he bought his first horse. When I'm three, he buys the second horse. And there's pictures of me riding since that age. But why? Because my dad always wanted to be a vet. And what happened was his father said to him, you have a choice. You get married and go into the business, or you go to school, vet school, but I'm not supporting a wife and family while that's happening. So he basically, you know, different time, different place, right? Not here to judge why or why that decision was made. Thank God my dad chose my mom, because here I and my siblings are. But all our life, he was constantly looking to fill that calling. So what happens is I'm 8 years old and he drops a bomb and says, we're all moving to a farm. What? From a city. We're just picking up and selling and taking the horses and going to a farm. So for the next 8 years of my life, I became a champion rider, lived on a farm, et cetera, et cetera. And then I fast forward, I'm married and my father's not happy. He doesn't want to be in traditional business. So what does he do? He sells his business and buys a pet store. Are you beginning to see a pattern here?
You can't get away from your calling.
You can't get away from your calling. And in life, the thing as a coach I see all the time is that we try and try and try to suppress and squash and distract ourselves from our calling, but you can't run away from your calling. It comes back to bite you in the butt.
Why do you think we do that? Why do we squash our own calling?
Because what happens, there is a force for not so good in the world. I'm sure you've seen these old, because like this is our age group, right? This is our demographic, the Flintstones, right? Do you remember when Fred and Barney would have the little red devil and the little white angel on the shoulder going, do this, do good, be bad? We have those forces that we're born with, the good and the bad. So excuse the simplification of the terms, but I call it the good guy and the bad guy. So the good guy wants us to live our calling, wants us to live a life of fulfillment and joy and abundance and meaning, our destiny. But the bad guy, anytime we do anything that reeks of positivity, goodwill, calling, connecting to our higher power, doing good, the bad guy always rears its ugly head and does everything it can to mess with us there. So there's always that play between the good guy and the bad guy. So what happens is we've been programmed throughout millennia to take the path of least resistance.
Almost genetically. Mm-hmm. You have a word for your that devil on your shoulder.
Yeah, so I would describe how you're describing it as my ego and my inner being. They are you know, obviously at war with each other. And I think also society puts out certain expectations that we feel like we, you know, need to show up for and need to play those roles.
Yeah,
that may not naturally be our own calling.
So you're saying that it all goes in together, right? To either pull us in the direction towards our fulfillment and the fulfillment of our calling, or away from it.
Even the wake-up calls.
And so that's what I was going to say. So what was your wake-up call that got you out of that? And how can we hear our wake-up
call? The wake-up call was when seeing my dad drop dead of a heart attack. And still searching, because why did he come to Florida to visit me? Because the pet store had gone bust and he had to start over again. And I said, this is not going to be my life. I'm not going to try something else and divert and try and try and fail and try and fail. I'm going to, from an early age, I'm just going to go after my calling. That's where I'm going to put my focus and my energy, because I saw what it did to my parents' relationship and ultimately what it did to my dad. Because there are choices in life. We have two choices in life. We can choose to be a creator or we can choose to be a victim. So the work that I do with people is to rewrite this terrible societal myth of selfishness. I'm going to do what I want, when I want, how I want, and I don't have to care about anybody else. I don't have to take anything else into account. It's all about me, me, me.
The ego guy.
Yep. Into mm-hmm. I am here. My global calling is I am here to heal the world, to be a force for good in the world. I'm here to be a creator. So I said, you know what? If I just stay in that zone, if I just stay there, because I wasn't like people who knew they wanted to be a doctor since they were young, or they knew what their calling was, or one of the universal rules is when in doubt, share. Just be in service and the answers will come. So mm-hmm. I did a lot of volunteering. I did a lot of self-introspection. And one step led me to another step, led me to another step, which, you know, this is all part of a system, which I love. The system is one. First, you need to be aware when you're being a creator or a victim. You need to be able to identify. And that's a huge one. Sometimes it takes years for people to become that self-aware. Once you're aware that you are, which side of the game you're playing in, now you have to make a choice. I choose to be a creator. In this situation, I choose to be a creator. So let me tell you a story about that. So recently I was at the supermarket. And there was this woman who was following me all over, and she was just on and on and on about how the supermarket was so poorly organized and there wasn't enough people and blah and blah and negativity and negativity. Like, I felt like she was sucking my life force out. But I said to myself, okay, I have a choice here. I can do death by banana or roll or whatever was in my cart. Or I could be a creator. How can I create good in this moment? But first I had to identify that I was losing it big time. I mean, so what I chose to do is to run away from her. So I ran to a different section of the store, and lo and behold, she followed me. She ended up right there. So then I said, that's it. I'm checking out, because I didn't want to engage, right? I didn't want to go there. And then she's in the checkout line right behind me. So that's when I said, you know what? Okay. I'm being pushed to stand on the side of creativity, to stand on the side of doing something good, to making lemonade out of lemons. I said, okay, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? Oh my God, what am I going to say? Just took a breath and I opened up my mouth and I said to her, and I said, listen, I said, I really get you're frustrated. I really get that we've been in here a long time and there are a lot of people and they're not, you know, there's not enough staff. I said, but look, I said, we're not at war. I said, there's plenty of food. We're in air conditioning. I said, so I would really request of you that we stand in a place of gratitude. And she just looked at me shell-shocked. And I was like even stunned at the words that came out of my mouth. But then I went on. I think I pushed the envelope a little bit. This is when I pushed it. And I said to her, and if you really want something to cry and complain about, the universe will give you something to complain about. And she looked at me in shock. And she said to me, you know, thank you. I want to thank you so much for what you just shared with me. She goes, because my sister always tells me that. She goes, noted. And this is how we stand and choose to be creators. Is it comfortable?
No. Not all the time.
That took bravery, mm-hmm. and courage, and a little bit of spunk, I must say, to be so forward with someone.
I have a few of these in my tribe, and it makes me curious how you bring this sort of light, because I find it a challenge sometimes, right? We all have, those of us who, few of us in the tribe who are drawn by the double side or the negativity,
the drama, whatever.
Yeah, the ego versus the creator. And so how do you coach that? How do you help in the group or in the tribe to sort of get beyond the negative and make a tribe that is a creative force, not only for people's individual lives, right, but as an entity itself? How do you multiply that creativeness?
You know, one of the things I do, first of all, is it takes a village. It does take a tribe.
It's so easier together.
Yes. And actually, we cannot do this alone, this work. And this is where our ego gets in the way and says, yes, I can. I'm an island unto myself. I don't need anybody. It's all about me. I'll do what I want, when I want, how I want. But I have every Tuesday night, I have an online group of women, our tribe. I call them the Spiritual Woman Warriors. And we learn every Tuesday night. And in the learning, in a agreed upon venue of learning self-empowerment, wisdom, there's a buy-in to support one another, to be there for one another. And I always say that these women probably would not be friends with one another if they met on the street, mm-hmm. but within this safe space, there is, you know, and we have a WhatsApp chat and we're always supporting one another and we're speaking truth. There's no space for BS, I guess is the term. We speak truth and we support one another in truth and we support one another in being the best version of themselves, because we're another one of the greater than purposes. The reason we're here on this earth is to self-actualize. Is not the name of my book. We aren't here to be good. We're here to be better. So we need support in that. So one of the things that gets us to a place first of all, you have to recognize if you are coming from a place of victim or creator. It's all mm-hmm. internal awareness. This is where it all begins. And many times when I work with someone, the first thing we'll do in our first session is we'll talk about what they say to themselves. How do they talk to themselves? Not out loud like you and I are talking, but their internal dialogue. How are they talking to themselves? Are they telling themselves, wow, I'm so excited to get up this morning. Great day. I'm going to be out there loving, caring, and sharing and creating for good. It's going to be amazing. Or are they waking up? Oh, I need my coffee. I don't want to do carpool. Oh, I'm exhausted. I don't want to work out. What is that internal dialogue? The first step is identification. If you can't identify who's talking, the good guy or the bad guy, you can't move forward from that place.
I love that.
So as far as your tribe and friendship, it feels like your tribe is very, you said just there's no room for fluff.
BS.
Yes, it's all real. It's all truth. And I so appreciate that. What do you do to fill each other's tanks though? Because there has to be, I believe there has to be some fluff. There has to be some really positive energy and vibes, because we want to be with people we know, like, and trust. And then we want to invest in those relationships by being able to be raw, real, and, you know, no BS.
I love that question, because there is a proverb that says you buy yourself a friend and you make yourself a spiritual leader.
I like it.
So what we do in tribe is we buy our friends. So what does that mean? First of all, like attracts like. So there's a vibrational force that when you are a group of women who are committed to growing and being the best you can be and self-actualizing, that in and of itself attracts 99.9% of what's got to get done. But the buying yourself a friend, it means that in a world where we want it easy, where we want instant gratification, the buying the friend is, I'm going to invest in a relationship with this one because this one has something that I need to learn to help me grow. And in that space is also humility because you're admitting that you need something from someone else. And you are also exhibiting respect, showing that this person is worthy of respect because they know something a little more that you know that they need to get to where they want to go. So you're injecting with buying yourself a friend. You know, it's like, hey, let's go out for a cup of coffee because I'd love to pick your brain. And you pay for that coffee. You don't go 50-50 because you're showing a level of respect and honor for someone who is on a path that you would like to be on. So it's very important that when you're in a tribe with people who are honoring others, who are buying their friends, it's not negative what I'm saying, right? Buying friends, but you understand what I'm saying when I'm saying,
okay. Yes.
You're putting your energy and focus in a place where you have to make an effort. Anything good in life, whether it's a tribe, whether it's a family, a relationship, you need to invest time and effort into it. You need to invest resources.
Yes. Well, so Anne, how can our viewers find you?
So I am very active on Facebook. I also have a beautiful little step-by-step giveaway on how to do what we're talking about. So, and they can email me info@anshoshanadector.com. I know you're going to put all those links in. It's hard to pronounce those names. So that's how I roll, as they say.
Yeah, so that's nice. So they get your giveaway by just contacting you somehow?
No, it's a link. They just...
Oh, we'll put that link in the chat. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty easy, pretty technological. I'm pretty impressed with myself.
Well, thank you for giving away a gift. We all are going to appreciate that and totally value that.
Can't wait to get it.
Yes. So we always ask our guests this special question: how do you tribe?
So I tribe by living it, not preaching it. I find that to be, and I also tribe by telling my lovely, I call them my soul pod, my soul sisters, don't put me on a pedestal because I'm going to disappoint you because I'm human. I'm always going to make mistakes, but I expect you to stand for me. I expect if I'm inappropriate, if something's whatever, I expect you to call me out on it, to stand for me. That's how we tribe. We stand for one another.
Absolutely. That's well said. I love that.
I do too.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we always got to close out just with our saying that when three or more gather, we are tribe. So thank you so much for being here with us today, Anne.
Thank you. I love this so much. Let's go out there and empower women because we are going to literally bring about the next wave of evolution.
Absolutely. Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us today for Find Your Lady Tribe. Would you do us a favor and hit that like button and add a comment? It'll really help us grow.
Better yet, find the share arrow and share out to your tribe. Join us again next week on YouTube or your favorite podcast service.